sounded funny.
Blog Talk Radio.
It sounded real funny. And it sounded like, man, this dude, what the hell are you talking about? He'll walk around barefoot, but you didn't think about, by the way, yeah, that's really, it sounds funny until you get one of these little weak niggas who will not do anything for you because he sees himself as in competition with you for who is going to be protected and provided for. It's all fun and games until you realize he sees himself as in competition with you for protecting and providing. And you're sitting here saying, well, damn, I need somebody to protect and provide for me. And he's telling you, man, that ain't really my steez. Then you get two or three kids with him, and he doesn't want to stop being soft. You found somebody who is unwilling and incapable and undesirous to take on those responsibilities. And let's be very clear, those are responsibilities. Those are responsibilities. And not to be taken lightly. But that's just me talking right now. We're going to see what you have to say. The telephone lines are now open. The number is 646-787-1933. That's 646-787-1933. Your personal access code to the business. You can go ahead and give us a call. I want to talk to the ladies. I want to talk to the fellas tonight. Fellas, when these women talk about man up, do you think they actually know what they're talking about or what they mean? Do they really mean man up, or do they really mean just give me what I want? I'm going to find the male who is most unqualified. I am going to get with him for superficial, deficient reasons. And then I'm going to demand that in a spate of controlled psychoses, that he should transform into something he wasn't when I met him and isn't now. The type of man that I have been avoiding simply because you're a male with male genitalia, you need to transform into that because I need it. How do you think that's going to turn out? We're going to go ahead and take some phone calls here. Please make sure that you are ready when you get on the line. Let me get caller from area code 614. You're on live with the business. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Yes, this is Claude from Denver, Colorado.
Claude from Denver, what's on your mind?
Yes, sir. You made me think about one story that I went through. There's a woman who gave me a call, who's a good friend of mine, and she had a flat tire. She was stuck in her office building, and she had no way to get home at 11 a.m. She also called her, like with Allstate and all those, you have your, people who come out and help you. Well, the gentleman came down. I got there at the exact same time as the gentleman. He took one look at the problem, couldn't figure out how to fix it, and actually left the woman there. Come to find out is, I had all the tools that was in there, and I had to take actual saw and saw off like the little part that was holding like the spare tire in, because that was the issue. It rusted off. And the only way you could get it off was actually physically sawing it off. So long story short, it took me about an hour to saw it off, but got it off. She is definitely one of my good friends at the moment.
Well, I'm glad to hear that y'all are good friends. Sounds like you also getting in some good twubba. So I'll leave it at that. But understand something. You said the guy just left her with it. Now, what does that tell me? What does that really say to me? I'm going to tell you what that says to me at a glance. That tells me you're dealing with a guy who whines. And ladies, a lot of y'all raise little boys who whine. They become adolescents who whine and teenagers who whine. and they pout. And understand, whining and pouting is not a harmless trait in a boy. As males, we understand. Males ain't supposed to be whining and pouting, because that is the trait of a male who is going to abandon you. If he's whining and pouting to not finish simple tasks in childhood and adolescence, then don't expect him to become a man who's going to do it. At the first sign of adversity, he's going to whine, he's going to pout, and then he's going to throw down his tools and huff off. And you'll be like, is this a grown-ass man doing this? Well, yes. Yes, this is the traits that he's picked up. He's going to be a grown man who's going to huff and walk off, and he's literally going to leave your ass with your flat tire. He's going to leave you with your broken TV. He's going to leave you with the three kids.
Mm-hmm.
And you might think there's no connection between those. No, the way that he treats your flat tire, that's the way he's going to treat the children. And if you choose badly and you choose poorly, that's going to be the fella you're stuck with. These are not harmless traits. They're not, you know, temporary. It's not just, oh, this is one dimensional. No, it ain't. Is there a woman listening here tonight? You tell me, if you got a fella who huffs and throws fits, how long was it till that nigga left? Or until you left simply because you realized, well, damn, I'm by myself. Let me go find me somebody to take care of these damn kids, because I chose like a stupid ass heifer with somebody who was cute, but this nigga is immature as hell. And, oh, I better go find me somebody who can support me before I die. Because as a woman, you need a man to be your protector and provider. Otherwise, you are by yourself. And a woman who is by herself is a sitting duck. You're a sitting duck to the system of capitalism. You're a sitting duck to the forces of white supremacy. You're a sitting duck to the elements of the earth. To the elements of the earth. Let me tell you something, fellas. Mm-hmm. A man.
Hello. Yes, this is Craig from North Carolina.
If you still are driving your Tokyo Drift car at 30, we need to ask some questions. If you're still driving your Tokyo Drift car at 30, I got to ask some questions now. I got to ask some questions. And maybe you need to ask some questions too. Let me get caller from area code 574. We're going to try you one more time here. You're on live with the business.
Angela calling from Indiana.
Angela from where at in Indiana?
Elkhart.
Andrea from Elkhart, Indiana. What's on your mind?
Yeah, Angela. And I just was so moved by what you were speaking, that it just, two words, sissified sons. It's just ridiculous that we are actually teaching our sons to be female, when I took on the attitude, I need male mentors, I need my sons' fathers, because I divorced twice, but the attitude I had was, I'm a woman, I know what not to teach them. I know what not to do. I don't know how to raise a man, but I know how not to raise a sissified son. And then the other thing I just like to express to women, please work with the men that you have children with, no matter what happens. Forget the court. Forget, just somehow, even if it's taken to shut up. Man up, that's the new thing. The new thing should be shut up, women, and listen. Listen to yourself. And find out what you need to do to find out who you are and nurture you. That first, nurture you, and not look to men for praise and objects. And I just appreciate
you,
Jason.
More than that, though, yes, you can, quote, work the baby father and this, that, and the other, but here's the problem. First of all, don't have a baby father, have a man. That's the first thing. Because you can't take a deficient male. No, if you choose a deficient male, at some point you're going to end up breaking up with him regardless. Either because he's going to be weak and leave, or you're going to get tired of suffering and leave. So first and foremost, don't make the dumbest mistake you can make, because it's irreversible. If you choose a deficient male, there's going to be nothing he can do. You can be as quiet as you want to be. You can be as submissive as you want to be. He has no interest in leading. And
yes,
if he has no interest in leading, then you can't, quote, sit back and let the fathers do this, that, and the other. All he's going to be doing is hanging out. I've seen a bunch of grown-ass men in the last 10 years who they're as bad as their kids are. Show me a grown man playing a damn Xbox, and I will show you a man who isn't going to contribute to his son's development whatsoever. So, yeah, he, quote, has his father there, but he might as well not, because his father isn't grooming him to be a leader either.
Well, I've even heard you say that the women need to choose. I mean, and you can't choose if you have your panties down. You need to keep your panties up and your dress down. Take some time without being sexually active. I want to know, women, do you have experiences with men that you're not having sex with? I'm 58, and I have men in my life that I'll never see again, but I didn't have sex with them, and I have a memorial of them, objects, not like, you know, I've never been like pay for things, but just acquaintances through business and what have you. What happened to just a regular male acquaintance? Everything's twerk, and women are not. We need to cherish our body. If we did that, we would choose men to sleep with. Giving it up, we don't even have time enough to check them out. And when young women, you don't have to scratch every itch. Take a shower, go breathing. You need to work on yourself instead of trying to please sexual desires, which are natural. Sexual desires are natural, but it's not natural to scratch every itch. And I'm 58. I'm an old nigga. Don't trust me, Jason. I'm an old nigga.
I understand, but, you know, by the same token here, the real problem is having sex is common. Having children is a choice. And you have a bunch of women out here today who want to get pregnant. They don't want to have sex. They want to get pregnant. They want to have children. And they are choosing the most degenerate group, that bottom 20% is creating all these bastard kids out here. And the women as a group are saying, so be it. And then once the problem gets so onerous and the situation becomes so intolerable and so insufferable that they suffer so badly, then they want to crawl their way back into the sexual marketplace and say, okay, I want a do-over. And that's the problem.
Why do they want to have children? I'm sorry to interrupt.
Because
it's just that a lot of them want to have children to have something to love. They don't even love themselves. And this is the era. Why are women, young women, we need to value ourselves. You cannot get anywhere until you look in the mirror and adore you. We don't comb our own hair. We don't tend to our own bodies. We go somewhere and have – this is ridiculous.
Well, okay,
there
but here's
nothing
the,
like the
esteem
from combing your own hair.
Well, what you're saying is true, but what we've entered is an era where females are trying to steal love. They're trying to steal affection.
Yes.
And they can't – you see, you have to earn a man's affection. You got to earn that.
Yes.
You can't just walk in and get that. If you give birth to a if you give birth to a child, you can force that relationship with them. But when you get with a man, you can't force him to love you. He either chooses to do so or he doesn't, and his choice to do so will be contingent upon your value to him. But what if you're a female who isn't valuable? What if you're a female of low value? Then why would any man want to sit up here and please you? And that's the problem.
They're confused, Jason.
Well, they're confused and dumb. But thank you very much for giving us a call tonight. Let me get caller from area code 804. You're on live with the business. What's your name? Where you calling from?
What's up, Jason? This is Vic from Minneapolis.
I was Vic from Minneapolis. What's on your mind?
Speaking on the topic of just these young dudes, I'm 25 and I do construction. I own a business and I work full time doing it too. And it's just like so weird that there's nobody my age in the field.
I mean, it's not
weird,
man. It's not weird anymore. I mean, I've done construction when I was in my late teens, early 20s. You know, we were in high school wanting to get jobs doing construction because the cats were doing construction had all the brand new Chevy pickup trucks. So when I was in high school, we all wanted to do that. Today, but here's the thing, though, brother. It really goes to your aspirations because let's just keep it real. When you go to, and you say you're in Minneapolis, you go to the Mall of America or whatever, you go see a bunch of dudes with skinny jeans running around and whatnot. He's got a hairdo. He's got some designer shoes.
Dad.
And he's got an Xbox. And though that is the height of his aspirations in this world. A bunch of these women today are grabbing a fella who's working some entry-level service job, who's compensating for his lack of socioeconomic accomplishment by looking cute. And that's supposed to distract you. So what females do is they grab the guy because he's cute. And then she's like, okay, he's cute. And eventually he's going to get the rest together. And all I got to do is wait for that ship to come in without her realizing or acknowledging that, nah, baby, the ship has already come in and sunk. What you're getting from him now, this is the extent and the maximum that he's ever going to produce. He's never going to do more than this. And the draws you've given up today, that's it. He's done.
Why it seemed like in the field too, like the older men and black men especially, but like in general, they don't want to give up no game to this trade at all. That's like their hostile.
What you're talking about in the construction business and the trades?
Yeah. Yeah.
Dude, you gotta understand, how old are you?
25.
Dude, let me tell you, you remind me of a young Jason Black because, by the way, I was saying these same things when I was in my early 20s. Dude, it ain't changed. 20-something years later, you got the same complaints I had 20-something years ago, especially with these old black males concerned. Brother, you got to understand, a lot of them are kissing white folks' asses to get anything, to get any contracts. I mean, they are doing some straight butt dancing like you ain't never seen in your life. It's shameless. But they do it in places you can't see. So that's the first you got to understand. The second thing, dude, don't you understand that a young, hungry, ambitious black male is the most threatening thing in the world to non-black males, but especially to older black males? Do you understand that? A young, hungry black male who you out here, you ain't bull jiving. A lot of these old cats, they got kids by different hoes. And they got lucky into what they're doing. They fell into it because they got a felony or some other crap, and this is just what they stuck doing. If you're young and you've chosen to do this, they just see, man, you got your whole life ahead of you, and you about this life. You about this business. You ain't playing no games. Your upside is so tremendous, and the amount of leverage and leeway you got in front of you is so tremendous. You're a threat to every damn body. I don't know how long you've been listening to me, but, brother, I've had something I've been saying to you all for a decade now. Back when I was in my early 30s, you got to watch these old niggas. Y'all got to watch them because them cats understand their situation is very tenuous. Their situation is very dubious. You don't understand how dubious it is. He's not willing to work as hard as you. He smokes. He drinks. He got different kids by different women. And a young, hungry dude who's about that life, you will work twice as many hours for half the pay and eventually sink him. You are his worst nightmare come to life. There's nobody more driven than a young, hungry black male who's out here in these streets trying to get it. There's nobody
Man,
more
since COVID, it's been booming.
And that's what they're worried about, is that you out here taking market share. You ain't taking no shorts. You taking no breaks. You taking no days off. You out here trying to get it while it's here to be gotten. Because you understand, I think even at your young age, you understand you're an athlete, man. You're like an athlete. In the NFL, brother, you got only a certain number of years you can play. And even of the years you can play, you've only got a certain number of years where you're going to be at your maximum productivity. And then eventually something's going to happen. You're either going to get injured or you're slowly going to start losing it or hit the wall. And then your productivity is going to plateau and then go down. So you understand I'm in my 20s. I got no health issues. I'm the healthiest I'm going to be and the most capable I'm going to be right now. I got to get out here and get it while it's here to be gotten. Because you could wake up next year and it ain't there no more, man. You could wake up next year and it's over. Or you can wake up next year in this real competition. I don't know. But you understand that. These old cats, they know they can't keep up with you, man.
Yeah, I'm 7 years in, and like you said, all the cuts and bruises and all that, like, it comes with the game. But it's like, it seems like everybody hating, and it's like I'm just, like, taking off, really.
Watch it float by. He's not happy to see a young up-and-coming cat coming. He's not happy to see that. He doesn't see any camaraderie. He just sees it as a threat. That's all. He just sees it as a threat. That's it. Don't be fooled. So when we talk about manning up, those are not the guys you can go to for mentorship. You see, you can't get mentoring from somebody who sees you as a threat. Let's be very, very clear. You can't get mentoring from someone who doesn't want to lead or someone who sees you as a threat. No, in the chat room, I live the same thing. I lived the same thing. I had niggas old enough to be my daddy working for me when I was 22, 23 years old, and they was hating it. They had been doing the business their whole damn lives and couldn't do what I had done by the age of 22. They were old enough to be my father and had to work for me, and they hated it. I thought people would be glad you had a young black male who was making something of his life and building. No, quite the opposite. They hated me for it. They were sabotaging my vehicles and everything. They weren't happy. They weren't glad for me. They weren't like, hey, that's a young black man really trying to get it legit and do it right. We happy for him. They was like, look at this little upstart nigga over here. They weren't happy. They weren't encouraging me. They were as angry and jealous and bitter as they could be. So I know what you young dudes are going through. I lived that life. I already been there way before you was born. Brother, it ain't changed. We just got an internet. We can sit here and converse about it over. It's always been that way. It has always been that way. Don't ever get it twisted. It has always been like that. Caller from area code 843, you're on live with the business. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Yeah, this is Mike. I'm calling from Atlanta. Can you hear me?
Yes, Mike from Atlanta. What's on your mind?
Hey, brother. Listen, man, I listen to you quite a bit, man. I respect a lot of what you do, man. I'm out here. I'm actually a game developer. I just wanted to chime in this time. I don't normally chime in, but I noticed that you said that, you know, if you see a grown man playing video games, you know, that's somebody who needs help or somebody who's not headed in the right direction. The only thing I wanted to say there is here now that I'm a technical director out here and I'm kind of leading some stuff out here, I would say that there's three levels to that. I would say honestly that there's, you know, the first level, that's the bum dude. That's the dude that's out there. They just playing Xbox or whatever. They're not trying to do anything serious or whatever. They smoking weed or whatever.
But that's also, you know, majority. But
yeah,
it's all
that's also the
majority.
I hear you, brother. But I'm just saying, the hell with that dude. We're not talking about him. Then you got level two. You know, level two is the dude that, you know, you get off from work, you're a hardworking man. You know, it's no different than watching, you know, a show on television or something like that. You know what I'm trying to say? So that's your level two. You know, a man can enjoy the type of entertainment that he has or that he wants to enjoy. And then you got level three. It's a dude like me. I'm always playing video games because I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to do for my next buck. I'm trying to play video games because I'm trying to figure out what I'm trying to do to make it, you know, in life. So the only thing I wanted to say is, you know, it was different when I was younger. But you gotta look at video games as a $99 billion industry. That's last year alone. And it just keeps growing with AR and VR. And I
That's a misconception. What you just said is a misnomer and a misconception. It's a $99 billion industry. It's a $99 billion industry. Yeah, mm-hmm. But not for the consumers.
Okay.
That's the problem.
I hear what you're saying.
It depends on what side of the fence you're on. That's not for the consumers. That's only for the producers. So, and here's the other thing. To be totally honest with you, the world economy got along just fine before video games were ever made. As a matter of fact, as far as I'm concerned, if somebody's going to start playing a gaming console, you might as well get a drug habit because people don't use it well.
But that's a bit of a misnomer. That's a bit of a mischaracterization of you know, to say an industry or to say that the world existed before a certain industry came along. That's not fair. I mean, the reason why that's not fair is because there's plenty of I live out here in Atlanta. There's a lot of black game developers out here. A lot of people don't understand that. A lot of the jobs I've worked in here, there have been a lot of black game developers. Not only that, you got esports. You got a bunch of young men coming
up. Okay, brother, what you're doing, sir. Respectfully speaking, you're not a game developer and you don't do programming. I'm actually a part of several different groups on. Okay, sir, stop talking.
I am a programmer.
Sir,
no, I'm a programmer.
Sir,
though,
stop talking.
You're wrong. I'm a programmer.
Sir, okay. All I'm going to say is right now, if the next time that you start talking when I do, I'm going to cut your call. We're not going to compete. Okay. We're not going to compete.
All right, I'm listening.
So right now, be quiet, and don't say anything else, including I'm listening. I want to hear the sound of silence from your end of the phone, period. Without knowing you, I am a member, actually, of several different groups of game developers. Actual game developers never talk like you. They never do. Now, gamer boys talk like you. Game developers do not talk this way. Game developers of any ethnicity, of any race, of any nationality, they don't talk like this. Only gamers sit around talking about gaming and the merits and benefits of gaming and gaming as stress relief. Game developers don't talk about gaming as stress relief. I've literally never met a game developer who discusses game making as game relief, as stress relief. They only discuss it as an enterprise and as a personal competition in themselves to make the most innovative type of game that they can because they want to make their mark in history. They don't, what I'm saying is game developers never discuss making video games as a form of recreation. They only discuss it as a form of business. That's it. Gamers are the only people who talk about gaming competitions and esports. Game developers don't focus on esports except as a marketing tool, but they don't care about esports because they don't make money on esports. They just see it as a forum that helps them to market what they do. But anybody who has worked with an actual game developer, actual coders, actual debuggers, they do it as competition amongst themselves in the industry. Who can be the baddest? Who can be the best at it? And they do it only as a business. None, None. Zero. I have never spoken to a game developer who talks about gaming as recreation. Never. So I will say this as respectfully as I can. I don't believe you're a game developer. You sound like a gamer. You talk like a gamer. You're being emotional and reactive like a gamer. You're not saying anything about business. And game developers don't talk about gaming. They talk about business because gaming is just another business. And you're trying to talk about it like it's on some other elevated philosophical, spiritual level that it's not. It's just another business like vacuum cleaners, like auto repair. It's just another business. That's all.
Okay, dreamcompass.com. My name is Michael Andrews. I am a real game developer. I don't need to call up in here and lie to you. I'm not trying to misguide anyone. You can go check my LinkedIn out. I've worked as a developer for about the past 6 years. Casino gaming for 3 years.
Okay, your phone's coming through really muddled. Your phone's coming through really muddled. I'm not sure what's happened to it, but what I will say is I think that at this point right now,
I can send
gaming,
you links to my work, sir.
Okay.
I can send you
gaming,
links to my work.
Okay, gaming
you,
as
I can
people
send you
are
links
treat-
to my work. You say I'm
okay.
not a developer. I can
if
send
I,
you links to my work.
Okay. Here's the best
well,
case
I mean, I'm
scenario
not, I mean,
I can.
I'm not trying. I'm not
here's,
trying to disrespect you. I'm just,
sir,
trying, I'm just trying to let you know
here's
I'm actually
the best-
a game developer. I know how to program.
Okay.
I'm not lying.
What,
I can send you links.
Okay, sir, what company do you work for?
Right now, I currently work for a startup, 429 Games LLC. Before
okay.
that, I worked in casino industries. I'll see
okay.
you LinkedIn. I have nothing to lie about.
Sir, who owns
I'm not lying to you.
Who owns 299 Games or whatever you just said? Who owns it?
It's a small group. We just now
group.
Started up.
All right.
Yes,
there you go.
It's a small group. Wait a second. Hold on, sir.
There
hold
you
on,
go.
Sir. Please, with respect.
There you go.
With respect.
Yeah, there you go.
You go look at you. Hold on. Check out my LinkedIn. If you,
sir,
if
what
you
game? What game have you made?
Actual developer.
What game? What game have you? What game have you made? I got gamers.
In the middle.
I got gamers
hold
in my.
On,
oh,
on,
you're in
on,
the middle of.
Hold on.
Okay, I got gamers in
hold
my
on,
chat room. So if you ever worked on, sir, I'm asking you, have you worked on anything of consequence?
I'm. If you'll let me, answer.
Yes, I'm asking you. What
have
you worked on of consequence?
Have you ever heard of Archer the television show?
The television show Archer. Yes, I've heard of it.
Yes, they developed a video game called Archer PI. My name is Michael Andrews. I worked as a scripter on that. I have worked on stuff of consequence, sir. Please don't disrespect me.
Okay.
I like your show, but I just need you to understand that I actually do know how to do this type of work. I know how to
sir, I've never I've never heard of Archer having a video game. I will just take your word for it that they
well,
may have made
it's
a video.
Called Archer PI. It's called
okay.
Archer PI. I don't have any reason to lie to you. It's called Archer PI.
Okay.
It's a small app that went along with their game. That went along with their season. I was listed
okay.
as a developer on that. You can check me out, and I'll send you my LinkedIn. I have nothing to lie to you about. Like I don't. I like you. Like what I'm trying to do is just trying to get people not to look away from this as a medium. That's all. And you know, again, I'm not trying to prove or argue with you or go back and forth. I'm not trying to do that. We're in this fight together. What I'm trying to get you to see is that if I was a younger, when I was younger, probably in my my late teens to early 20s, when I was that young. Sure, I played games a lot, you know, like I didn't know, you know, I was bumping around, didn't know what I wanted to do. I'm not trying to give people a pass. That's not what I'm trying to do. But I always had a
drive. That's exactly what you, that's exactly what you said.
Sir, respectfully, that's not what I'm trying to do. I'm just trying to say if you have drive and that's the way that you want to move and that you want to go, you know what I mean? And it has to, and you're trying to make money from off of it, you're trying to turn it into business. That is something that I don't want people to be dissuaded on because that's how you get a start in it. You know what I mean? You start doing that. I came out to Atlanta in like 2011. Busted my ass.
Okay, well, brother. Okay, sir. We're doing a lot of talking. Okay, you do a lot of talking. It would really help if you just got to the point. Although I will say one more thing. Who was the company that you said made that game, Archer PI?
That is Floyd County Productions. They are the actual studio that actually creates it. Like, I was at the studio with them working. I have no reason to lie. You can check out my LinkedIn. It's on my LinkedIn. All of my work is on my LinkedIn. I'll send it to you gladly.
Okay. Well, I will definitely say I think that's all very interesting. That really is. I hope your gaming thing there has gone well. I will say you that a brief Google of Archer PI, I think, will lend some interesting reading to people. If you're a member of a startup, I think that's all great and wonderful and everything. If that works out for you, I'm not downing that. But what I will say is that game developers do not defend the virtues of gaming. They defend the virtues of game development, not of gaming.
I do too. I've done that.
But what you did tonight and what you have been doing is you've gotten all emotional and all off in your feelings behind gaming.
I started off on three levels. The first thing I said was three levels. There's three levels to this. The dude that plays the hell with that dude.
Okay.
That's the first thing I said, brother.
90% of the people on Xboxes are doing it for that bottom tier reason you said. So at that point,
I don't disagree.
When you
I don't disagree with that.
So when you've got that, when you have that type of corruption of an activity that has been so badly abused, there's not really a whole lot to defend anymore. The segment that you're trying to defend could take it or leave it anyway. That's the problem. The segment that you're trying to defend could take it or leave it. And you're trying to make it seem like it's more consequential than it is. And it's really not.
You got to play games to make good games.
Okay, you know what? You know what?
If you don't play enough
life
games,
you
can't make good games.
You know what? We are in a real, in the words of Dr. Claude Anderson, we are in a real life game of Monopoly. A real world game of Monopoly.
Absolutely. I don't disagree with that.
The white supremacists we're competing against, they're not focusing on video games. They're focusing on making video games only to get the profit because they're playing in the real world. They're not playing on a video game.
Yeah, I am too. Why do you think I have my own business?
Okay, but sir, there's nothing to get emotional about to extol the virtues of gaming. There's nothing to get emotional about to extol the virtues of gaming. That's the point I'm making. There's really nothing to get emotional about because the people you're playing against, they don't play video games. Okay, well, let's leave it on that note then. Thank you very much for giving us a call. People, the folks that we're up against, they're not playing games with us. They're not. And as far as I'm concerned right now, let me just tell you right now, I talk to people on the phone, but as far as I'm concerned, I wouldn't care if we never made another phone call again. With the way people are using it. I'm on Twitter. I'm okay if Twitter shuts down tomorrow. We were more focused as a people before we had so many distractions. But I'm not going to sit up here and say, well, you know what I mean? You just don't see the good side of it over here. People, come on. I know a lot of y'all are gamers and stuff, and I get that. But we have to understand when we've abused something to the point of oblivion. Caller from area code 619. You're on live with the business. What's your name? Where you calling from?
Hey, Jason, man. This is Zane from Chicago, but I'm in the Oakland area, California, man. And, you know, I got to shout you out, man. You always keep it 100, and you always lay down the business. And, you know, that other phone call, the dude ass, he's a fucking liar. He's a fucking square. You know, as a man, you're supposed to be accountable. He trying to overtalk you like some hoe on the track. You know, you talking business with him. You dig? You know, my thing is, and this is, I wanted to really touch on this with the other caller that was before this fucking bozo, that he is right, that older black men, they do leave us to die out here, you know. And I mean, we already had this conversation about 6 months ago, and you know, the way how I developed this shit, you know, you got to be cold in the game. You got to have a warm heart and a fucking cold mind. You know, if a motherfucker can't give you no instructions, you know, they can motherfucking keep their distance. You dig? You know, it's all about you fucking knowing what the fuck you have to do and not saying anything. You know, don't fucking be on social media. Don't be on shit. And this is just a Reader Digest. A motherfucker already knows, as a young black man, ain't nobody gonna do shit for you. You should expect that. Just like what Batman does, he had a motherfucking contingency plan for, like, to take down the Justice League and even his own self. You gotta have a contingency plan for everyone to trade and switch up on you, even including your own motherfucking self. I don't even trust my own motherfucking mama. That's how cold you gotta be in the game. You know, I tried to find plumbers and shit, and they turned my motherfucker away, you know, like, hey, little homie, we can't help you. So shit, I said, fuck it. I'm finna go out here, go across state, and go find somebody that's gonna teach me and fucking get it in, you dig? Learn this shit on Google, learn this shit online, go to the library. It's always options out here you can fucking do. Don't never say, oh, the OGs can't help you. You know, fuck them. Fuck them. Like Jason said, it don't even fucking matter. Don't trust these old niggas. Don't trust these hoes either.
Well, you know, brother, absolutely, especially for you younger cats and whatnot, I'm a firm believer that y'all don't need recreation. I'm just going to say it just like it is. You all don't need recreation because your real competition ain't taking no days off. Your real competition isn't looking to go sit down and take a vacation. Your real competition out here your competition has made beating you their recreation. You know, when you have these stores out there and whatnot, and they were talking about the store, you know, I had some callers who were talking about the store that called the police on George Floyd. And they were talking about how the dude who owns that place there has been molesting the black women and this, that, and the other. Brother, they made messing you over into a real life game, which is what I was trying to explain to the previous caller. They've turned this into a real life game, messing you over in the real world. I mean, I want you all to think about something. Think about this for a moment here. And I know it might be a little bit of a stretch for some of you, but think about this for a moment. Think about voyeurism. Would a voyeurism video game sell a bunch of copies? Probably not, because you know it's contrived. Now, in the real world, however, with the right equipment and whatnot, why do you think folk get in trouble for this kind of thing? Why do you think folks, there are folk out there who spend thousands of dollars in equipment and everything else, and that's what they do. It's a real life game. In the system of white supremacy, they like playing games with your real life. Why do you think they sit up here and go to the gun range and get bows and arrows and MMA? They're so far beyond virtual gaming. They don't want to do war gaming. Their thrill is in dealing with the real world and manipulating the real world and changing your life in real time and watching your reactions and change, being able to manipulate your reactions and manipulate your behavior in the real world. That's what gives them a thrill. You think you're going to a job. Professor Black True said that you all think you're going to a job. You think you're watching TV. You're telling yourself TV is recreation, but the people who create your programming for television, they see it as mind control. They see it as the height of the human experience to be able to manipulate your behavior and manipulate your reactions in the real world, to control your mind, to influence you in the real world. That's their recreation. That's what excites them. That's what they do in their leisure time, is gentrify you, tear down your neighborhoods, watch the bulldozers come up and knock over whole blocks. racially profile you like they're hunting in the woods. That's what they do for a living. That's what they do for a living. They live this. And we need to get to a point where what we call recreation, where we are able to profiteer our recreation. Or should I say, we need to make building our recreation. But you see, something is only recreation when you can do it from a position of power and from a position of leisure. When you're able to make things happen at your leisure as opposed to from a position of crises. And that's the point that we haven't gotten to yet. Everything in Black society is from a position of crisis. I don't care what job you got. You have always had a day where you didn't mind going to work, but that was usually a day you didn't have to be there. If they told you, you know what, coming to work on XYZ day is voluntary. That was probably the day you were most interested in going to work and it was most stress-free because you made a choice to go. And as Black people, we don't get to make those choices. We have those choices imposed on us, so it sucks any ability to enjoy it out of it. But as a people, I want you all to start understanding recreation. Building needs to be your recreation. Thank you very much for giving us a call. Let me get caller from area code 678. You're on live with the business. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hi, Jason. This is Shanae from Georgia.
Hello, Shanae. What's on your mind?
So I just wanted to touch on the topic of whining and complaining. So I see it from an earlier start, I would say more so 10-year-old kids. When you look at the parent-teachers meeting and you have the mom and the dad come in, what I find very disheartening is when the father's in the room, the mother's sitting there with the teacher as well, and he's looking down at the ground, or he's mumbling. Everything is just under his breath. He's sitting just slumped over, but he has the best clothes on. You know, he got the J's, everything just like his son. But it's that whining and complaining that I see in the child that I see where it comes from, because the father has no sense of direction. And when he's in the meeting discussing his child's future, he doesn't take on a stance of power, anything like that. So it starts from a young age, but it's pretty disheartening when I see it in a meeting that's meant to determine his son's future, and he just doesn't, or the mom is the one doing most of the talking, and the father is sitting there just, you know, it is what it is, okay, just going with the flow. And that going with the flow mentality is just as detrimental, because it's like you'll just accept anything just to not be of an inconvenience to anyone, or because you don't really know what to say. You don't know how to advocate for your child or advocate for yourself.
So you're raising sons to be servants.
Yes, so you go into many of these rooms, whether it's with your son or even just a business meeting, and they come in there, they stand in the back of the room, or they go in the corner and gossip with somebody they know. But when it comes time for them to sit at the table and discuss things, they're probably off in a corner joking around, talking about their suits or something like that, if they're wearing a suit. But that mentality stems from the children that I'm seeing starting out around 10 years old. They start whining and complaining. It's time to go outside. I don't want to get my shoes dirty. Your mom was like, don't get these shoes dirty because I got them for you. It's like that whole peacock mentality of I'm sending you out into the world to be the best dressed and not the most powerful. And there are two-parent households who are promoting that, as well as single-mother households. So,
okay, in the chat room here, somebody said, whoa, it ain't just the dad. Actually, it is just the dad to be the male role model. It would be better for you not to be there at all than to be there and be a bad role model as a man.
Right.
Remember what I told you all, a woman can make you into an upstanding citizen. She does not she doesn't instill the masculine code in you. And if your father, let me just make sure you understand something, y'all. The Europeans, oh, y'all gonna hate it when I say this. The Europeans understood that their children were their legacy. They went to wars and fought wars all over. Go look at the War of the Roses, which really is what the TV show Game of Thrones is based upon. They went to wars multiple times in England and France and Spain, in Russia, over bloodlines. over the legacy and who was going to carry it. And there's nothing more pathetic in this world than a man who ain't got a legacy. And when you don't care how to instill the masculine code in the son who is the reproduction of you, you're worthless. That's not your wife's job, damn it. And that's the other thing.
Right.
You got a bunch of males out here acting like dogs and you're just breeding. And in the words of Dr. Francis Cress Wilson, you should not be allowed to reproduce yourself, which is what reproduction is, making another of you. You shouldn't be allowed to replicate yourself. You shouldn't be allowed to reproduce yourself. You are defective. You are a failure. You shouldn't be allowed to make more copies of yourself. You're already defective and broken, and we don't need to have five more of you. The one that we have is worthless as he is. It is not your wife's job, nor is she capable of instilling the masculine code in your son. I make it very clear to you all right here. I make it a point to wear pants. Let me say that again. I make it a point to wear pants. I don't walk around in shorts. I don't walk around in slippers. I don't walk around in flip-flops. I don't walk around in house shoes. I make it a point to wear pants. I make it a point to wear a shirt. I don't wear a tank top. I don't own one, which you all call a wife beater. I don't own anything like that. I don't own nothing like that. When I get dressed, I'm ready to walk out. But what I wear for casual walking around the house, I literally can put on my tennis shoes and walk out the door. With no further preparation required. And you know who else was like that? Malcolm X. Malcolm went above and beyond what the Nation of Islam made as their standard. Malcolm went beyond that. As a matter of fact, if y'all remember, for Time Magazine or Ebony Magazine or whatnot, they showed pictures of Malcolm X when he was mowing the grass. He was mowing the grass wearing his damn suit and tie. He was mowing the grass wearing his button-up shirt and his tie. He literally could have walked off from wearing mowing the grass to go speak at a convention, to go make a speaking appearance. That was the way he lived. You know why his children looked up to him? Because when they saw that man walk out of the bedroom every day, they saw a man ready to face the world. And you understand why he's going above and beyond. Yeah, that's the kind of thing that informs your view of a man. When you say that my father didn't just come out presenting himself to his children or his wife any old kind of way. He always did the maximum. He always did the most. He presented himself to us as our leader by going through all of this extra work and these extra steps. Yeah, he could have just walked out there in his boxers and his wife beater. Yeah, he could have done that with him like anybody else. He wanted to have more respect and esteem than them, and he demonstrated it by what he did. He did not just present himself to you any old kind of way. And a man who has a son who he is not taking the utmost care to ensure is his legacy, that man needs to have his scrotum sliced off. He doesn't need to reproduce himself. And there are too many dumbass, immature, janky-ass, slutty-ass hoes out here who are given every one of these deadbeats, every opportunity to reproduce himself, and then trying to slither your way back later and retroactively fix it when you can't. The damage to the son is already done. The damage to the daughters is already done. A man who is not sitting there making sure that his son is exemplifying the highest virtues, that male doesn't need to live anymore. That's not supposed to be your wife's job to instill masculinity in your son. That's your job. You're supposed to want your son to become the image of you. But can I just be totally honest? A lot of you niggas, you ain't nothing to reproduce and you're nothing to emulate. That's why you can't the mama do that. But baby, can't you go take care of that? Nigga, you ain't building no legacy. Your son isn't looking at you saying, I'm the heir apparent. I'm going to be taking over the reins of power here. Your sons are not like Rupert Murdoch's sons. There's nobody in your family who is fighting, backstabbing, or competing to carry your name. Can we say that again? There's a lot of you who don't mind sending your damn skirts and sending your women to go represent your sons, because there's nobody in your family competing to carry your name. There's no one there saying, I'm going to be the person who carries the father's legacy. There's none of you. Ain't nobody doing that. You ain't gave them nothing to compete for. Rupert Murdoch's children, there was competition. Vince McMahon's children, there's competition. That was very public with Shane and Stephanie about fighting over who would carry the father's name and carry the father's legacy of that company. Warren Buffett, same thing. When you actually have a legacy, there will be competition to carry that legacy. The children are going to be ecstatic or be depressed when you make it clear that there's one that you favor over the others. When you start making those grumblings and those rumblings that this is, especially if it's not the eldest feel like I've been here the longest and I was the first born, so I should be first in line. And when you let them know, yeah, your younger siblings seem to have more of a grasp on this, because the future of what I've built is something that I owe to my ancestors, not my sons, as Pharaoh said in the movie The Ten Commandments. I owe this to my fathers, not my sons. And the one of you who is going to be best suited to carry this, you'll be the one that I hand this to. See, when your father has a prestigious name, there's competition. There's competition to carry that. There's competition to be the heir apparent. You puff your chest out and hold your head up. See, we ain't used to that in black society. We're not used to having that. We're not used to being able to say, I'm carrying on the father's legacy. That people respect me because I'm carrying the weight of decades on my shoulders, and I'm here to demonstrate to you that I'm up to the task. That I'm going to do even bigger and better than my father did. My father has validated me, and now I am here to validate him into eternity. You don't have a bunch of that going on. You just got a bunch of niggas out here laying up with a bunch of slutty, gutter, hood rat, filthy hoes, or some brain screwed smart hoe that you ran into in college or after college. You laid up with some smart hoe and you ain't motivated to do nothing because you chose badly or emotionally. So you were a hood rat hoe or a smart hoe, but you're not motivated to even improve your legacy. You see, when you see some smaller version of yourself walking around, you are supposed to say, that's my legacy. And my legacy is going to be spoken well of. My legacy ain't going to be out here just any old kind of way. There are too many of you black males. You're not building anything, so you don't give a damn that your legacy is out here janky and raggedy. Your son is supposed to be showing people what, just like your woman represents you, I'll be damned if your woman is a representation and a reflection of you, how much more are your children a reflection and a representation of you? But how would you be offended at not being respected if you know for a damn fact you're not respected? Nobody respects you. So you don't care that your children are a damn joke and your sons are ridiculed and nobody gives a damn about them because you're not respected. So your son doesn't, in your mind, your son ain't really reflecting badly on me, because can you just be honest with you? You don't think your son reflects badly on you because you ain't nobody. You're a nobody and you're a nothing. And you're saying to yourself, if he gets it, great. If he don't, I made it. I ain't graduated from college, and, you know, I still struggle with my ABCs sometimes, you know, but I might. You see, you're not used to being a male that women compete for. Oh, am I hurting folks' feelings? Am I hurting folks' feelings? Am I hurting folks' feelings? Some dumbasses in the chat room are trying to say Floyd Mayweather. Let me tell you something. Floyd Mayweather is an exception to the rule. Floyd's an exception to the rule, but Floyd's accomplished. But even otherwise, he's an exception to the rule. The rest of you don't have to be Floyd Mayweather. What about you in your regular life? That bar is a whole lot lower to clear. It's a whole lot lower to clear. And a lot of you out here, your children are going to be the only legacy you have, and you can't even show where your bloodline is improving. Your bloodline has stagnated. Your children ain't building nothing. Your children aren't improving. Not at all. So nothing's getting better. Your bloodline has stagnated. And as a man, you are supposed to be angry and upset and dissatisfied if your bloodline has begun to stagnate. Your children are supposed to be doing better than the father. And you're supposed to make sure of that. Who the hell can you be and your children are not doing better than you? They're supposed to be doing better than you, and you're supposed to be ashamed if they are not. You're supposed to be ashamed of that. We got schools out here where the teachers, can I just say it like it is? Oh, I'm going to say something that's going to upset you here. You see, there's a lot of you dudes, you don't go to your kids' schools because, you see, when you go to the kids' schools, can I just say this? The damn teachers are supposed to be sizing you up. Can I just say that? Oh, am I saying too much? All right, I'm going to go ahead and say it just like it is. Let me tell you something. When you walk onto the kids' campus at school, the teachers are supposed to be like, who is that? The teachers are supposed to be giving you that vibe. I'm talking about the female teachers, hopefully not the males, but the female teachers are supposed to be giving you that vibe. The female teachers, I mean, when you're a male and you go to a school, it's a whole place full of women. And you walk into a place that's full of women, and at least half the women aren't like, oh, whose daddy are you? Oh, you're Brian's father. Oh, yes, let me talk to you about him. Man, you sort of want a room full of females and you don't have any of them gravitating to you? In a room full of women and nobody's gravitating to you, that's supposed to be an indicator to you. Oh, nigga, you ain't about nothing. Because these are women who have professional credentials. They got professional degrees. You're supposed to be having them sit up here and get a vibe off of you. I know I have when I show up for my nieces and nephews. As a man, you're supposed to walk in the room, especially when you're in a place where, especially with a bunch of middle-aged females, and you ain't getting no vibe at all. They're letting you know, I'm meh, another loser. Or they're taking a look at your son and seeing, oh, you're the deadbeat who made this. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, hurry up and sign the papers and leave. You see, when you walk in there and your son is on point and your son is intelligent and your son is achieving, then the women are going to respond to you like that. They're going to respond to you like that. You sort of walk into the school and the teacher's supposed to take a look at your son and say, oh, you're his father. Man, what was your name again? Mr. Jones, hi. Oh, yes, Brian is one of our best readers here. He's always just been so smart. And you, fellas, you supposed to get that vibe. You can, well, you know when a female is like, damn, I wish I'd have married you and this nigga I'm with. You supposed to get that. Fellas, if you ain't got that, something's wrong. I'm just telling you right now, when you walk up into school and it's your son or your daughter, the teachers are supposed to be like, yeah, I wish I'd have got with you and not this nigga that I ran up with. I should have been with you. That's the reaction you're supposed to get. And if you're not getting it, guess what? That's not good. Even at a basic level, even I'm not even talking about at a physical level. I'm just talking about intellectually, that woman is supposed to be responding to you. When she sees your child in action, intellectually, they're supposed to gravitate to you. And if that's not happening, that's a sign that you failed as a man. That if they're taking a look at your offspring and saying, yeah, we can do better than this. So glad I didn't have the kid. So glad you're some other woman's problem and not mine. So glad you're some other woman's problem and not mine. I'll let you have the last word.
Okay. So for those who, you just have to value your legacy to a point where you know that you cannot divorce yourself from the responsibilities that come along with being a father, as well as the role model for your son, as well as your daughter. So just take responsibility for setting that foundation for them. Be one.
Black First Sister, thank you very much for giving us a call here tonight. Your children are a reflection on you. You ain't supposed to just hand that over to the woman you gave that you married or whatever. Remember, I've told you all, you're not supposed to trust women. You're supposed to lead them. That's one of Jason's laws. I started the business so I could talk to you about that. You're not supposed to trust women. You're supposed to lead them. You don't hand your children over to your son over to your wife and say, well, I'm trusting you to do the best thing. Trust my ass. Woman, these are my instructions. I'm not trusting a damn thing. I'm not leaving my legacy up to trust. I'm not leaving my legacy up to chance. These are the rules. This is what it's going to be. Because I want my son to grow up in my image. Because I'm a man who's building. I'm a man who's progressing. My son is going to have the ability to poke his chest out and say, that's my father. But you cannot do that if you're not valuing yourself. And can we just keep it real? Most of you fellas, you ain't doing nothing worth valuing, so you have no problem handing it over to the women. You're like, hell, maybe she'll do better than me. Caller from area code 337. You're on live with the business. What's your name? Where you calling from?
Hey, yeah, this is Colin from Lafayette, Louisiana.
Colin from Lafayette, what's on your mind?
Yeah, I just want to say, man, the sister was right, man. Whenever I was teaching martial arts for one of my cousins, not only teach adults, but at that time I was teaching the actual fighting lessons, and it would be men that would come in there, man, and ask the brother, like, I want you to teach my son discipline. I want you to teach him, you know, how to be tough. And I'm like, nigga, you are a man. What are you? And he's saying that in front of his woman.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what is this brother doing at home? And
so
I'm like 20 years old at the time. So he's actually putting his son that's, you know, like 10 years younger than me. And you're going to trust a younger man to teach your son how to actually be a man.
Okay, but do you realize what that means, though? Do you realize what that means? So he's sitting in front of his woman saying that his son is lacking basic masculine foundational traits. So first of all, what that's saying is that you ain't respected by your woman, because this tells us that your woman has said this to you. And that you're saying, I ain't got no answers. Let me go see if I can call another man to take care of this. So immediately what he just admitted to you is that his woman does not want his son to grow up in his image. She sees him as defective. She sees him as inadequate. And right in front of him, and she doesn't want him to grow up in his image. And furthermore, he doesn't want his own son to grow up in his image, which means he's surrendered. He's surrendered. He has surrendered his manhood and his masculinity in front of his woman. He's defeated. His woman is already fishing for a new protector and provider. His woman is already going to exercise her hypergamy. This nigga's done. He's done. For him to say that in front of her like that, brother, it's over. He just articulated why she should leave him and why she should not be with him. Thank you very much for giving us a call tonight. Brothers, you got to watch that. He just articulated why she should not be with him and why she should leave him and said it right in front of her. Right in front of her. But how many of you fellas listen to me right now? You've done the same thing. You sat in front of your woman and you have admitted your inadequacies right in front of her and that you've given up. And let me go see if I can get some other man to get the job done. Okay, fellas, why should your woman stay with a middleman? Why should your woman stay with a middleman? Why should she do that? It's better to be the side chick to a nigga that gets it than the main chick to a dude that doesn't. A lot of y'all are turning your women into side chicks because at some point she wants to have a masculine male. She wants to breathe in the masculine male air. At some point she wants to know what it's like to have that rock solid protector and provider whose masculinity is completely in place. She wants to have that man whose masculinity is whole and complete and solid. She's tired of seeing what it's like to be with a fellow who's trying to guess his way through it and figure it out. At some point, she's going to want to know what the real thing feels like. And if you admit to her that you are not the real thing, then he's going to cut bait. She's going to cut bait. She's going to cut bait. Caller from area code 618. You're on live with the business. What's your name? Where you calling from?
I'm Christopher Lyon, and I'm calling from Chicago.
Christopher Lyon from Chicago. What's on your mind?
I just had a quick question. It was only simply about the – it was earlier in the podcast when you were talking about the man and how – basically, when they butt broken, and you didn't say it exactly in that word, but basically when they basically don't have no sense of pride within themselves, like, can that be reversed? It's a simple question, straightforward.
Okay, for the man or for the child?
For the man. You basically said, man, some men grow up and they don't have, like, a sense of pride of being masculine. You know what I'm saying? Maybe because of a past situation growing up or growing up only around females. Like for me, for example, I'm 26 years old, but I was my mother raised me, you know, only, and I had to learn stuff the hard way. So I didn't really know how to become a man until I started to get like really older, like in my late 20s, to start understanding like things to do, responsibilities as a man. And earlier in that podcast, you said like that when they butt broken or whatever, like when they lose their sense of pride as a man, they become bums or something in that way. I can't remember because it was like a couple of hours ago, but basically you were saying like basically they're useless. So I want to know, is that reversed?
Yes. Can it happen? Yes, it can, because throughout our lives, we're supposed to grow. We're supposed to develop. And that's everybody. You know, if you're the same person at 20, if you're the same person at 30 that you were at 20, you failed. And if you're the same person at 40 that you were at 30, you failed. So you're supposed to be growing. Everybody is. You're supposed to be growing and improving and evolving as time goes on. You're supposed to be becoming, everybody is supposed to be becoming more resourceful. Everybody is supposed to be becoming more capable as time goes on. So, yes, absolutely, that can occur. But like I said before, you have to be able and you have to be willing. If you're a person who's not able because there's no foundation there and you're not willing because you're too scared to grow and change and you're too intimidated by the magnitude of the task, then it isn't going to happen. But can it happen? Absolutely. Absolutely you can. Now, it's going to be harder if you haven't had that example. And the older you are, the worse it'll be, because now the world is making judgments of you. See, the world isn't making judgments of you at 17, 18. The world's got an opinion or assumptions. It's not making judgments. If you're 30 and it's not in place, the world is making judgments. The women are making judgments. The bank, the loan officer is making judgments. Your job is making judgments about you. Preferably, you want to be in a position where people's judgments of you are made in the best possible light. But right. If you are, if you've made it past that development stage and whatnot, can it happen? Yes, it absolutely can. Now, it's going to be more difficult, but can it be reversed? Can it be changed? Yeah, it absolutely can. But you have to make the decision to do it. Thank you very much for giving us a call. Let me get caller from area code. Let's see if I can take a caller from area code 312. You're on live with the business. What's your name? Where you calling from?
Hey, what's going on? This is Dane from Chicago.
Dane from Chicago. What's on your mind?
I agree with everything you're saying about everything you touch on, because I'm 28 years old and I'm currently paralyzed from the chest down. So it's a lot of things I have to relearn how to do. And I actually got good at it, so I'm actually in the stuff getting my life together, because, you know, I really didn't have a strong father figure growing up anyway. So it's a lot of things I had to learn on my own when I joined the streets. So I do agree with you 1,000%, because I don't have children on my own, and I'm glad I don't have any children on my own. Because I said as though that I wasn't capable at that time to have children, because I don't have a legacy to pass down to them. I ain't want to still be out there in the streets, and I ain't want to pass that legacy down to my children. So I agree with you 1,000%.
When men value themselves, then they take children very seriously. When you're a man who values yourself, you take that seriously because you recognize, okay, this is my legacy. But you have to be someone who says to themselves, I value it. It is important to me. It matters to me. It's not something I'm going to leave up to chance. This is something that matters to me. I am concerned about what I'm leaving behind. I'm concerned about what I have here. Forget leaving behind. What about what you got right now? I'm concerned about refining and perfecting it. I'm concerned about that. That is something that I think about. That's something I want to have in its best light. That's something I want to have that I can be proud of. I want to be able to look my mother and my father and my grandmother and my grandfather and be able to look them in the eye and be assured that the family's bloodline and the family's legacy is in good hands. There's no greater feeling for a man than to look at his predecessors, his ancestors, his elders, and then those who came before him, and his children, those who will come after him, and to know that he has gained the respect and the admiration of both. They all look at him as the prototype of what they want the family to be, and that family is in good hands. There's no greater feeling for a man to have. Thank you very much for giving us a call tonight about that. I think that's a very good thing for us to keep in mind as well, that as men, we want to keep our legacy intact, but without that admiration, there is no legacy to keep intact. You've got to have their admiration for it. You've got to have their respect for it. And without that respect, you're not actually doing anything. It should be a shame upon you to have a situation where you're not respected in that way. That should be a shame for you. We have normalized failure to the point that the men are not ashamed to be thought lowly of. Women and their children. That's a problem. That's a problem if you're being thought of lowly by your women and your children. your women and your children are not supposed to sit here and be like, eh, well, this nigga came over. As a man, the world is supposed to stop. The world is supposed to stop when you show up. The world is supposed to sit there and be like, you're supposed to constantly be in competition to make sure that your family knows that they're in good hands. You're not supposed to be okay with your family looking to somebody else, with your children looking to somebody else. Teachers, your teachers at the school, you're supposed to see them as, okay, you're kind of my employees, but just understand we're really not betting the farm on you. Don't get it twisted. I haven't left my children in your care. Don't get it twisted at all. I'm not depending on you to take care of my children. That's not your job. That's not your function. You're here to fill in certain gaps, but I'm not here to leave it up to you to take care of my kids. That's not what I'm here for. I would never allow that. Your children are supposed to get their ABCs and their 1-2-3s from you. They're supposed to get those basic fundamental building blocks from you. They're supposed to gain that as their example from you. You see, you're supposed to be a father who values and loves education, who loves learning, who loves being intelligent. You're supposed to be a father who loves trivia, who gravitates to knowledge and all of its nuances and depth and definition. That's what a father is supposed to be. That's manning up. But you see, you can't love something that you've never respected. How do you love something that you've never respected? You can't. If you've never respected it, and if you grab a male who has never respected knowledge, who's never respected mastery, who's never respected masculinity, who's never respected being admired, that's a problem. See, that's where confidence comes from. Confidence comes from knowing that you are admired. I don't mean admired in an egotistical way. I mean admired in that people wish they could do what you do, and that they have confidence in you, so you've got confidence in yourself. That's the part that's missing. They're supposed to have that kind of confidence in you, so you can have that kind of confidence in yourself. That's where you need to have it from. You need to have the type of capability in yourself so that your children, your heirs, your woman, and more importantly, your elders and your ancestors in your family and in the community are looking at you and saying, that's a man. We're not worried about the white supremacist elements. We're not worried about the physical elements, because man is supposed to be another word for leader. That we're in good hands. He's not a bumbling idiot. He's not a deficient fool. He's a man. Right now, at this critical juncture in our history and our experience, I'm looking around to see who the men are. I'm looking around to see who are those who are intellectually and mentally fit to take on these challenges. Because we're meeting challenges left and right, and I'm taking a look around to see who's ready for this. Who's built for this? Who's prepared for this? Who is desirous to enter into the arena of socioeconomic, intellectual, and in many cases, physical combat and be prepared to deal with this? I'm checking to see who's ready. I'm asking about who's ready for this. I want to know who wants to be a part of this, who wants to have the admiration of their women and their children, but most importantly of yourself. You're supposed to look at your children and see a job well done. You're supposed to look at them and see a job well done. You see, there is an extreme amount of pride and confidence. There's too many fellas out here. There's a reason why so many of you guys are susceptible to dating gurus. I don't do dating advice. I don't advise you to listen to dating gurus. I advise you to be a damn man. But too many of you have been given feminine traits. And one of those feminine traits leads you to chase women as opposed to be a man and attract women as a part of who you are, as a side effect of who you are. That money is a side effect of being the productive male that you are. That's what it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be a side effect. Not even so it'd be really something that you got to sit here and work over. It's supposed to be a side effect of being who you are and being that person. It's not supposed to be something you sit here and fight and grapple over and sit up here and have to have the affirmation of the women around you or the woman that you're with. But ladies, by the same token, you have to accept and understand that a lot of you have been sowing seeds of destruction. You have been creating the exact type of males that you complain about. You chose a weak male because you had some emotional deficiency that you never worked your way through. And as opposed to getting a man who desires to lead and desires to be your head of household, you chose some chump that you could play house with and acted like that was something funny and something cute. And you've been suffering the lumps ever since. And you've been watching other women enjoy benefits that you have not had. And you've grown angry, you've grown bitter, you've grown mad, you feel deficient about it, you feel some kind of way, and yeah, you should. Yeah, you should feel some kind of way about it because life is short, man. Life is short. The reason that we got so many females out here today dabbling with lesbianism is because so many of you have chosen so pathetically and poorly. You're digging around through the trash bin of the bottom 20% of males and trying to figure out a way to make that work. And it's destroyed your psyche, it's destroyed your femininity, it's destroyed your feminine identity. Your feminine identity has been decimated because you've grabbed individuals who cannot lead to be your leader. Swag is some amorphous feeling. Don't grab a man based upon what you feel. Grab one based upon what you know. Feelings come and feelings go. Your personal interests, those are not feelings. Those are not subject to change. Those are not something that you can, that you debate over. Your interests are supposed to be permanent fixtures. Your interest is supposed to be something that stays in place. That's what your interests are supposed to do. Your interests are not supposed to migrate. They're not supposed to vacillate. Your interests are supposed to stay fixed in one position. And when you go off of your feelings, you've just betrayed your interests. When you start submitting to your feelings, you just betrayed your self-interest. Your self-interest gets choked by your feelings. You see, when men go for women, I'm talking about men with resources. When a man with resources, a man who's building, when he chooses a woman, the curve of her ass and how big her breasts are, though, that's not really the deal breaker. there really isn't. When a man is looking for a female, when a man of resources is looking for a female, he's looking for a female who is fit to carry his legacy, who is fit to represent him, and who is fit to improve and enhance what he's built. I've spent my entire adult life listening to females talk about they got left and got cheated on. Their man cheated on them with a female who is not as pretty as she is. And that's what, when you use that statement, that's that you're just admitting you don't get it. You don't get it. When you're a woman who says that, how could I lose? I'm sexier than this other female over here. You don't get it. You don't get men.